வந்தேஹம் ஸ்ரீகுரு.
The following is a conversation with His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, recorded on the 1st of March, 1975, in Atlanta, Georgia.
That is the Vedic description. The religious principle cannot be manufactured by anyone within this universe. It is the codes or laws given by God. That is it. That means we have to know who is God, what is his desire, and we have to have eye question. That is it. Just like a good citizen means he knows the government and the government laws, and he abides by it, then he is good. Otherwise, he is criminal. If he does not abide by the laws of the state, he is criminal. Similarly, if one does not abide by the orders or the codes or the laws of God, he is Satan or demon. Harava bhaktasya kutu mahaduguna. Therefore, anyone who is disobedient to God, he cannot have any good quality. Jasyasi bhakti bhagavati apinchana sarvai gunai tattva samasate sura. And one who is devotee, abiding by the orders of God, he has got all the good qualification of God. Therefore, the duty of the state, duty of the father, duty of the teacher, everyone, those who are guardians, they should teach their subordinates how to become faithful to God. This one qualification will make him perfect. That is not being God. Everyone is godless, mostly. Therefore, there is problem. Chaotic condition. Nobody is abiding by the supreme law. Everyone is creating his own law. That is the trouble. So our Krishna consciousness movement is meant for making the human society law-abiding citizen. The laws given by God. So that is stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna, God is giving. If we do like that, or take even Bible, if we follow strictly, then we become happy. Am I right or wrong? What is your opinion?
You are very right in saying this, because we cannot solve any problem. The problems keep on multiplying. When we solve one problem, there are 20 ahead of us.
Our first problem is because we have got this material body eating. Everyone must eat. So, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, anna dhamanti bhutani. If there is sufficient food grains, then both man and animal, they become happy. Therefore, our first religion is to produce food grain sufficiently to feed everyone. Krishi Goraksavari Jam Vaishakarma Sava. This matter has been entrusted to the Vaishyas. They should produce sufficient food and give protection to the cows for sufficient milk. Then the whole human society, animal society, happy. But we are disobeying the orders or the rules given by God. Instead of producing food, we are producing motor cars and motor tires, motor parts, and so many other things. And therefore people are starving. The manual labor is being misused. We are dissolving the orders of God. Therefore, I have seen all over the world there are enough space for producing food grain. And if we actually produce food grain, we can maintain 10 times of the population, present population of the world. There is no scarcity, question of scarcity. Because God has created everything complete. Purnamidam, Purnamada, Purnat, Purnamudachyate. There cannot be any defect in the creation of God. We have created this defect on account of disobeying the orders of God. God never said that motor car are Bhavanti Bhuta. He never says. But instead of producing food grains, we are producing so many unwanted things. People, energy is engaged for, just like in America or in every country, so much energy and resources are engaged for preparing war materials. And that means there must be war. And you must be killed, I must be killed. You will kill me, I will kill you. Yes, sir. Therefore God says, Chatuvarnam Maya system, Gunakarma Vibhava. The human society should be divided into 4 classes of men. The most intelligent class, Brahmana. The next intelligent class, Kshatriya. Then next intelligent class, Vaishya. And the 4th class man, who cannot become Brahmana, neither Kshatriya nor Vaishya, they are called Shudra. Shudra is meant for giving service to the others. Paricharyatmakam karyam shuddhakarma svabhav. So, in this age, 99% people are engaged as shudra, working for others. No independence. Otherwise, Brahman, Kshatri, Vaishya, they are independent. Nobody is servant. But at the present moment, education means how to become expert servant. Then it should be. You cannot expect any good things from Shudra. That is not possible. Formerly, there was monarchy and the king were called Rajarshis, saintly king. Imam Rajarshayo Vidhu. These instructions are meant for the Rajarshis, not for the Shudras. So, the Rajarshis, they would take instruction from superior authority, Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, and they accordingly rule over. And the Vaishyas would produce food grain sufficiently and milk sufficiently. People would eat curry nicely and they keep their health fit and save time for understanding his relationship with God. That is perfect civilization.
Who is a Shudra? Is it determined by jati?
Yes, one who is simply seeking service, like dog. The dog goes door to door and moves his tail. Give me some food, give me.
Determined by jati, by birth?
No. His quality, he has no quality.
Spiritual type.
Yes. Not spiritual type, it's material type. He cannot maintain himself independent. Nowadays people are being educated highly, but if there is no service, he has no way.
So, tamasic.
Yes. There is no way. I've seen one doctor of chemistry. He could not get any service in Allahabad. His name was Raghunath Mitri, Dr. Raghunath Mitri. Then he was living at the cost of his father-in-law and making some soap and going to the shop for sale. That means he could not get any service. Now his independence was to manufacture some soap as ordinary man is doing. But he was chemist, he could not do anything. He could manufacture some soap. So in spite of high education, because he could not get a good job, he had no value. That is the dogs, if they do not get a master, nice, then he's still dog. He is lean and thin, no shelter.
That's what is
happening. Yes.
At the present time in this country, to 10% of the people, they don't have jobs.
Yeah.
They are let off and they can't.
Every country. That's why you are highly educated. Your country could not give you service. You are coming here. And that is Shudra. One who cannot live independent. He is Shudra. Puricharjatmakam kajam sudra-dhamma sabhavaya. So, kalau sudra-sammava. In this age, everyone is practically sudra. Because nobody can live independently. So, we are producing mass sudras. Therefore, it is in chaotic condition. The communist is the last word of the Shudras. The communist philosophy is that we are water, we have all the power, we must have all the power. And that they are doing. And because they do not want to obey any authority, therefore they are denying existence of God. This is the tendency of the modern society. Not only they do not know what is God, and they are trying to disobey the orders. So practically there is no religion. And without religion, a human society is animal society. dharmena hina pasubhi samana. Human being without any ideas of religion, God, is no better than animal. That is the difference between animal and human being. Animal eats, we eat. Animal sleeps, we sleep. Animal has sexual intercourse, we have. Animal also defends, we also defend. These are common features. And what is the special feature? The special feature of human being that he can understand what is God. So if he does not understand God, he is animal. Because the distinction between animal and man is being avoided. So far other activities are concerned, they are the same as of human being and as of animal. But what is the distinction? The distinction is that in the human society there is an endeavor to understand God, and the animal society there is no such endeavor. So when the human, so-called human society becomes devoid of God consciousness, it is animal. Saiva Gokara. So this Krishna consciousness movement is meant for raising the human society to the real platform of human society, not to keep them in the animal platform. Try to understand God and love Him. This is the substance of Krishna consciousness.
This dream of Sita, there are monks from Kanya and Kasama, and you use Hare Krishna as a way to God consciousness. Well, in our Christian tradition, we use the name Jesus and we repeat it constantly, try to become conscious of it.
Jesus Christ, did he say that Jesus is the name of God?
What the Christian name?
No. Is there anything mentioned in the Bible that Jesus is the name of God?
Did he say it himself? I read the New Testament.
Yeah. Of course.
He didn't say it himself.
Did he?
Did
what?
Did Jesus say that he is God? Yes. Jesus is the name of God. He said, Son of God.
No, he said God.
The Son of Man.
There's three places that Jesus said he's God. In Hebrews and John, the two places.
I am the Father of one, John.
Oh, the Father. The Father and the Son is one. Of course it is one. So are we. Because we are all children of God. God must be in us, otherwise we couldn't exist. Of course. So that's why I believe that I'm not denying anything, but I'm saying that the meaning might be that God and Jesus is one, is in a similar way as I and God is one.
That is fact.
But again, it depends upon the belief of these individuals.
Now, Jesus is described as Son of God. Do you deny that?
Definitely. He's Son of God just as you and I are. But at the same time, as Christians, of course, it's a matter of belief.
That's all right. This Son and the Father, they are the same. Because Son is born out of Father. So how he can be different? In that sense, it is one.
Yeah, well, I'm not denying the fact that the God...
No, try to understand. Just like here is your Son and here is your Father. So there is no difference, because the Son is the expansion of the body of the Father. So how the body and expansion of the body can be different? They are one. But still, in relationship, Son is Son, Father is Father. In relationship, just like the mother is there, and her relationship with husband is different from her relationship with her son. in that sense, the son and the father different. But in quality, they are one. Because son is the expansion of the father's body. Therefore, simultaneously, they are one and different. That is real understanding. So if the son sometimes says, I'm one with the father, there is no controversy. Because he's one in quality.
This tradition of the names is a tradition that's developed over 2,000 years, beginning with the monks, and which most Christians are aware of, that through this japa, a man can have consciousness of God.
Yes. One comes to God consciousness, and the relationship is God is great, we are subordinate. That's like the father is the maintainer and the son is maintained. Although the father and the son are the same quality, still the relationship is the father is the maintainer and the son is maintained.
That's, of course,
not the Orthodox Christian interpretation. Huh? That's supposed to be very, very clear. By the time the decrees were worked out, that Jesus is not a creature. He said, we are creatures, and we are subordinate to God. And I can understand that Christ was not created.
Yes, none of us are created.
Yes, I understand. I spoke earlier with some people.
That's right, in the Bhagavad Gita.
As you say, we are co-eternal with the Father, just as Christ did.
Yes, we are all eternal. That is nitya nityana, I have already explained. Nitya means eternal. There are two eternals. One chief eternal, God, and one subordinate, eternals, they are Purana. God is one. We are many. Father is one. The children are many. Similarly, both the father and the children are eternal. God is not created and the children are not created. That is stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Na jayate nabhya seva. All these living entities, they are never created, neither they ever die. Nitya sasatam na hannate hannavane sarire. They are eternal, ever existing. Even after the destruction of the body, they are not annihilated. So God is eternal, that I have already explained. And we living entities, we are also eternal. How the son can be otherwise? If the father is eternal, the son is also eternal. The son cannot be. Because son is the expansion, part and parcel of the father. So all the qualities of the father are there. The only quality difference is the father maintainer and the sons are maintained. That means the father has got unlimited resources to maintain the sons, and the sons, they have no resources, they are maintained by the father. This is perfect philosophy. Otherwise, if you are such self-sufficient, then why you go to church and beg, Father, give us our daily bread? That means you are maintained. You are begging the Father, please maintain. So, if the Supreme Being, who is maintaining millions of, trillions of living entities, He is great, or the living entities who are maintained by God, they are great. Therefore, God is great. And we are subordinate. This is natural conclusion. How can go otherwise? If you are self-sufficient, why go to church and pray, God give us our daily bread? Are you independent? Are you independent?
No.
That is Shabbat.
I'm a creature. I'm a creature.
Yes. Everyone is creature. He is a supreme creature.
Without him, I can't live.
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying, but I believe that our tradition from the Old Testament says that we were created by God.
In one sense, we are created. Just like Father creates the sons, not the sons create the Father.
Yeah.
In that sense, we are created. So, taking this word, the sons are created. So, the Father existed before our creation.
Before our creation?
Creation. So, he is not of the same quality again.
The mystery. We can only bow down before
it, yes? That is our business. This world, creation, is applicable in this material world. In the spiritual world, there is no creation. The Father and the Son existing eternally. When we come to this material world means it has got beginning and it has got end. And spiritual world means there is no beginning, no end. That is Sanatana, eternal.
That is the point of the steady state theory of the universe also. That it, the Hubble, I think, in Oxford, he talked about the steady state theory of the universe. And, but the whole idea is that the whole universe has always been there, and it will always be there. It might change, change in shape. Like on the express in the morning, anyone morning will look at it, blue car is here and the red car is there, on the other hand, the green car might be in the same place. So there might be transitory change, but he maintains that it has always been there. So I can see the point. There's a big controversy going on, and he might be very well right.
He's talking from physical concepts.
The Big Bang theory and the steady state theory of the universe. They have come up with a cyclical theory of the universe also, that there is a Big Bang and the universe expands and then comes back again, like in Vedic philosophy they have one mantra.
Vriyattad bhinnavattad iti brahma.
So they are coming back to that kind of thing that we have not solved any questions. From the point of view of science, though, when things are changing all the time, it is very exciting. I read the Old Testament too, and the New Testament, I don't remember everything.
I reckon tying with the idea of the Spirit being eternal, Christ. I believe Christ himself said that we've all been with him from the beginning.
And there is no beginning. According to the idea of one group of science, there is no beginning, and therefore, if there is no beginning, there is no end.
The Alpha and the Omega.
What?
The Alpha and the Omega. Swami, you see a difference or a conflict between being a devotee of Jesus and a devotee of Krishna? May one be both?
Devotee means, real devotee means, he has no purpose for material gain. That is real devotee. Now we have to see what kind of devotee he is. There are two kinds of devotees, with purpose and without purpose. The without purpose devotee is pure devotee. And with purpose devotee, they are material devotee. That is distinguished in Bhagavad Gita. Artha arthati jigyasu jnani ca bharadarsa chaturvidha bhajante maam sukriti na arjuna. There are pious men and sinful men. Sinful men cannot become devotee. Pious men can become devotee. Jesham tu antagatam papam jananam punyakarmana vedanya mohanim mokta bhajante maam virabhata. These are the definitions. One who is completely free from all sinful activities, they can become pure devotees. So, even after becoming free from sinful activities, if one has got some motive, then he is also not pure devotee. Pure devotee means without any material motive. God is great, I am His subordinate, I must love God, I must render service to God. This is purity. And if I go to God, please give me my bread, that is not purity. Because He has got some purpose. As soon as His purpose is fulfilled, He may turn non-devotee. Just like one of my German godbrothers said that in Germany during the last war, Second World War, many women used to go to the church to pray to God to get back their husband, son or brother. But nobody came back and they became atheists. There is no God. We prayed so much. And my father did not come. My brother did not come. My son did not come. So, motivated devotion is sometimes frustrated and they become atheist. Therefore, the devotee who has no motive is pure. In any condition, it is my duty to love God and to serve Him. Not for my benefit, but God's satisfaction. That is purity. Kanna-milasita-sunnam jnana-karmadhan-abhritam anupallena-krishnanu-siddhanam bhakti-ruttama. This is definition of pure devotee. If God satisfies me in my sense gratification, then I love God. Otherwise, I have no connection. That is not devotion. That is business. So business-type devotion is not devotion. It is devotion. It may be accepted as a pious activity, not devotion. Devotion is transcendental to pious and impious activity. Let's say Arjuna was thinking to fight with his cousin brothers and kill them is impious. But when he understood Krishna wants this fight, he transcended the impious activity and by the order of Krishna he killed his relative. Therefore, this devotion is above the position of pious and impious activity. That is called transcendental.
I'm not clear on what you're saying.
It is clear. If you have got some motive, and with motive you go to God. That is not pure devotion.
It is wrong to petition God?
It is not wrong, but it is not pure devotion. Somewhere or other, if you go to God, that is very good. With motive or without motive. You have gone to God, that is bad. That is better than to become impious. Impious man, they do not go to God. Just like nowadays nobody goes to church. Churches are selling. And simply temples also. So now there are in India so many township development, they are constructing very fashionable houses and no temple. Nobody is constructing temple. At the present moment, everybody has become disinterested with anything, religion and God, all over the world. That is degradation. Especially I am seeing in Bombay that Juhu's King, very nice houses are being manufactured. You have all seen. But nobody is constructing a temple. The modern economy, they say, non-productive endeavor. Where there is no income, and simply you have to spend money for maintaining the temple. So they are not interested in non-productive things. So this is degradation of human society. Either as Christian or Hindu or Mohammedan, nobody is interested. A few may be interested. So, what is the question of Mr. Psychiatrist? Who is psychiatrist? You are? Come here.
I just come to listen.
Thank you. The other day in Caracas, two or three psychiatrists came. His question was, how to solve the problems? So, our statement is that unless you treat the spiritual disease of the human society, then the problems will increase. It will never be solved. The real disease is spiritual disease.
That's children also?
Yes. Young children should be educated from the very beginning about God consciousness or the science of God. We had the opportunity in our childhood. My father taught, and then when I was grown up, my spiritual master taught. So, for that reason, we have got some sense. Spiritual education should be given. Komaro asare pragda dharman bhagavatani ha. Dullavang manasam janma tadapi adhuvam arthagam. This is statement of Prahlad Maharaj. He was a 5-year-old boy and a devotee. So he was trying to preach amongst his class fellows. The class fellows say, why you are bothering about spiritual consciousness, God consciousness? Now we are young men and let us play. He said, no, the spiritual life should begin kumara, just as the beginning of 5 years. Why? And dullavang manasam janma this human form of life is very rarely obtained. And we do not know when we shall die. So before our next death, we must be spiritually equipped. That is the business of human life. There is no guarantee when death will come. A child may also die tomorrow. There is no guarantee. Therefore, spiritual education should begin as soon as a child can understand something. Because there is no guarantee that he will remain for many years. There is no guarantee. So the business of human life is to revive our lost relationship with God. So if we miss, then I may get another body, not even human body. Then I miss the opportunity. This human form of body is obtained after many, many millions of years struggle. So this is also temporary. But although it is temporary, it is orthodox. You can achieve the real purpose of life. That is the privilege of this human form. Therefore, as soon as possible, the spiritual education should begin immediately. From 5 years to 25 years, brahmachari. He has nothing to learn except God, brahmachari. Brahma charati iti brahmachari. He is simply interested in Brahma. That is called brahmachari. He has no material interest. That is the foundation of spiritual life, brahmachari. And if he can, he remains brahmachari throughout the whole life. But if he is unable, then he is allowed to marry grihastha. So, according to Vedic civilization, any education should begin at childhood. Therefore, even one is king's son, you are sent to Gurukul to remain as brahmachari, to learn the basic principle of life. That is very simple, you see. Nowadays, small boys, they are learning how to smoke. When I was first in America, in Butler. So I saw small children, 10 to 12 years or almost 10, 9, they are smoking. I was surprised. Because in India at least, there is not allowed. I think there is law, if any boy smokes less than 16 years old, he's punished in India.